Thank you, Jordan. I just have to take a minute to commend our youth for coming up here and reading scripture and praying and speaking. This is not an easy thing to do, especially as a young person, to stand before adults and share and speak. As a matter of fact, we sometimes have a hard time getting adults to read scripture in church because they're nervous or they don't feel comfortable. So if you are a person that would like to read scripture in church, please contact Martha Ross in our office, as we are always looking for liturgists. But I'm really proud of you guys for being so brave today. In the scripture today that Jordan read, there are seven spiritual-based characteristics that the author was naming that was encouraging Christians of his day to develop in addition to their faith. Pop quiz, who remembers all seven? Besides the pastor. Oh, who wrote them down? Nice, taking notes. They were moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, endurance, godliness, affection for others, and love. Don't worry, I don't have a seven-point sermon today, just 3 points. But this passage of scripture was written with the intent to help guide Christians in developing these traits of virtue and deepening their faith walk. Notice that the author used faith as the foundation for these traits to be built upon as we grow in our likeness of God. One thing that I learned early in my Christian faith walk, excuse me, was that God did not wish for me to remain stagnant in my faith. I learned in confirmation class, believe it or not, that John Wesley had a theological basis for Christian holiness. Wesley taught that genuine faith produced both an inward and an outward holiness. That when our hearts are filled with the Holy Spirit, there is no way that we can possibly remain unchanged. He calls this process of Christian growth sanctifying grace. And I'm sure Pastor Peter is going to explore that in his next sermon series called 5 Marks of a Methodist. I believe we can learn a great deal about spiritual growth from our young people. Think about all the amazing and creative ways that we work really, really hard to make God real and applicable to our young people. We have youth group, we go to camp, we do missions projects, service projects, small groups, Christian rock concerts, so much more. We know and do a great job at providing these opportunities for growth to our young people. The sad part is that somehow, as we age, we naturally stop growing. Obviously, physically, we stop growing at a certain point in time, although some of us just grow the opposite direction. We stop going back to school, and we're not mentally challenged by the jobs that we've excelled in for so many years. We stop growing relationally because we tend to focus on our family and that close-knit group of friends that we feel comfortable with. And sometimes, we stop growing spiritually because, well, let's be real. Who has time for contemplative prayer with a 2-year-old and 2 jobs? And most of us, when we're planning to be gone on a mission trip, you work really, really hard for a month so you can be gone from work for a week. And then you work really, really hard catching up for a month afterwards. So sometimes it just doesn't seem worth it to expose ourselves to these new deepening experiences. I know a lot of people say, oh, I'll have time for all that stuff when I retire. But as a lot of you guys know, and I see your lives, sometimes retirees are busier than I am. One of my biggest fears as I get older is that I'll become complacent with my life, my goals, and my spiritual growth. Now, we all go through periods that I like to call desert times, where maybe I don't feel like I'm growing, or I don't feel like I'm connecting with God, or I'm having a difficult situation. But typically, these are short periods, and they still perpetuate that growth because my heart is still searching, is still seeking God. What I'm talking about is when my heart becomes content with its current state, that I'm just okay cruising through life, and that I make no intentions to stretch myself and grow in deeper in my relationship with God. This is the one area that I really believe we can learn so much from our young people, because they are far from complacent and far from content. They are passionate, seeking, asking, searching. they have like to try new things and challenge themselves to grow. Now, some of that, I'm sure, is because they have more energy. As you could see when I got winded trying to do hand motions to the praise song and Callie did not. But aside from that, they also haven't been jaded by the world. They haven't put in their time. They don't know what they like. They're still searching for that. And they don't yet have other priorities. Their priority is to learn, to develop, and to grow. How much can we learn from that? When as humans did growth stop being our priority? When did the goal of adulting become stability over growth? Well, here are three ways that our young people continually challenge me to grow spiritually, and I hope that you'll reflect on these and challenge yourself in these areas. The first one being a passionate connection to God. When I was at camp this past summer, I go as an adult volunteer, I got to witness two of our church's former youth serving on team at camp. Joanna Gill and Amanda Bunn, Marina's sister, both serve on camp, and it was such a blessing to see them passionately expressing their faith in so many different settings. One in particular, on Friday night high school worship, Joanna Gill, she's a senior at UCF and has an amazingly beautiful voice. She was leading worship that night and invited me to come and attend. Granted, worship at camp is pretty amazing, as you saw in the video, but just hearing Joanna share about her spiritual growth and having her share some songs that were really, really, really important in her spiritual growth really changed my heart in a way that I didn't expect. I expected to go to worship that night, and I expected to, feel proud that, you know, here's Joanna. She came out of Coronado, and she's, you know, blessing so many of our youth and ministering to them in so many ways. I did not expect to also leave with a heart changed and renewed, with this new passion of love for others. Secondly, our youth pray. They pray about everything. Sometimes I get annoyed at their prayer requests because they say, "Miss Emily, we need to pray for my iPad because it broke." Or my absolute favorite, "I want to thank God for Chipotle." But the beautiful part of it is that they pray about everything, and they pray about what matters to them. I can't say that I always do the same. As an adult, I tend to qualify my prayers on this scale of, well, that doesn't really matter to anyone or God, maybe to me a little bit, but it really doesn't matter, to, oh, no, that's a really important one that I need to bring up in my small group because so-and-so is having surgery. God may not actually care about the fact that I broke my iPhone screen, but God does deeply love us, and God cares about us in those mundane details of our lives. Just like my mom wants to be bothered with these minor things that happen in my life, God wants us to come to God every day, every hour, every minute to remain connected. And that's something that I see the youth do often. Even in the mundane, even in the typical, they stay connected to God. Sometimes as adults, we get so busy and we forget to care about the small things and we forget to remain connected in our daily lives. Thirdly, they ask the tough questions. Every time I explore scripture with our young people or we have a spiritual experience, they ask me some really tough questions. And usually I point them to Pastor Peter or Pastor Laura, and we play Stump the Pastor. But at camp, our middle school small group, we were discussing grace. And they were asking me some deeply theological questions. They were trying to differentiate Wesley's justifying grace from substitutionary atonement theology. They were asking me, does anybody know what those are? So they're asking me such specific, nuanced little questions about the theology of grace that I had to come back from camp and I had to have a conversation with Peter and Laura to make sure, like, I was double checking my questions, that I wasn't, like, leading these kids astray, which is crazy because I have a seminary degree. I should know this stuff. But I hate to say it, but sometimes I'm not even that challenged in many of my adult small groups that I'm a part of or that I lead. They're not afraid to really ask tough questions. Our young people ask tough questions like, why do Christians seem to hate certain people? How can we be so different from other denominations in our views? How do we reconcile God's love and forgiveness being extended to everyone when there's people that do such atrocious things in the world? Many of the times, I don't even want to deal with those questions. And I'm like, oh, can we just answer that one another day? But they push me. They push me to explore. They push me to grow deeper in my understanding of God. Every year, my unsolicited advice to our young people throughout high school and college is that they take every opportunity to grow, because this is the time in their life where they have the least amount of responsibility and the most amount of time, money, and freedom. Would you guys agree? I encourage them to study abroad. I encourage them to serve as mission interns, meet people that are different than them, be on staff at camp, take a philosophy class as an elective, and do anything they can do to continue to grow and expand their worldview. Most of my students come back after a few months of adulting in the real world, and they say how much they appreciate that advice. Others, how much they regretted not listening to it. Ultimately, we all have the opportunity to keep growing as young people, as adults, as retirees. It's our responsibility to continue to build on our faith, that foundation that we lay. It's not always easy, but I would argue that spiritual growth is always worth the effort, and sometimes it's even worth the uncomfortable stretching that it requires of us in the situations that we put ourselves in. So, this morning, may you continue to add to your faith in new ways. May you continue to experience God in new ways and challenge yourself to express God's love in new ways to a hurt and broken world. I hope that we all keep growing. And